Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 16. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the text. What kind of man was the rich man? What kind of man was Lazarus? Which of these two would you have wanted to have as your friend? Rich man was the leader of the community, dressed in the finest clothes. He liked to have friends and neighbors over for big dinner parties. Those are the kind of friends we like. It says he feasted sumptuously every day. Lazarus was a dirty, smelly beggar with open sores. How ready are we to engage in intimate contact with that sort of person? And to my shame, I will admit I am the chief of sinners. That's the time I tend to walk on the other side of the street. But looking at the story from the comfort of the pew, it's easy to despise the rich man because he had great wealth and wouldn't share it with his less fortunate neighbor. But that's not the point of the story. And the reality is, if you or I lived in that town, we know which of these two we would have desired to have as our friend. It's very possible that the rich man was loved and respected in the community. And it's very possible that Lazarus was despised and avoided by more than just this rich man. We know it's possible because we do see it all around us, and it's happened in every generation. The righteousness and the unrighteousness of a person cannot be determined by the clothes they wear or the curb appeal of their home. But it's not that the rich man was a sinner and Lazarus was not. They were both sinners, both deserving God's wrath and judgment. But the faith in their heart was different. The rich man's God was his wealth and all the things that he had achieved for himself, including his good name and reputation. Most likely he was very proud of what he had done in his life, and that was where he placed his trust, was in himself and what he had. Lazarus's God, on the other hand, was the living God, the God of Abraham, the God who had given him life and salvation and all things. Now, Lazarus was a sinner who deserved nothing in this life. And during his earthly life, he received next to nothing, except for the one most valuable thing, the one and only thing that we can actually take out of this life. He trusted his Father in heaven, and like Abraham, as it says of him in Scripture, his faith was credited to him as righteousness. The main difference between the rich man and Lazarus was not their bank account, wasn't their social status, or even their level of personal hygiene. The main difference was their attitude towards God's word. Lazarus was sustained by it, even through the darkest days of his life. The rich man counted it as nothing. And we see this. Even while in the torment of hell, the rich man's only thought was to avoid suffering for himself and for his living brothers. He wanted a little drink of water for himself to cool his tongue, and he wanted Lazarus to come back from the dead and scare his brothers into avoiding God's wrath. There was no love for God in his requests. There in the pit of hell, he did not recognize the value of the presence of God's word. He says, no, they won't listen to Moses and the prophets. They need to see you know, a ghost. But Jesus uses a little more specific language. He specifically talks about someone who rises from the dead. And if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe that either. And that's really where we get to the focus of what Jesus is talking about. But it isn't surprising that this rich man expresses zero value for the Word of God, being the Word of God. Having only fear of punishment, that doesn't create faith. It doesn't create love. The law will never accomplish saving works. The law can cause a proud head to bow. The law can crush us and bring us to our knees. But it is only in the sweet words of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins, the washing away of sins through the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is only there that God raises us up and fills us with hope and joy. For all of the sumptuous living that the rich man experienced during his life, he did not know the joy that Lazarus had in the words of Moses and the prophets. That's the irony of this parable. It wasn't just after his death that Lazarus's true joy actually exceeded that of the rich man. During Lazarus's life, the presence of God within him gave him a joy and a real hope that was unknown to the rich man. And even though Lazarus's body was weak by worldly standards, within him was a strength the world could not perceive or understand. Our world envies the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Millions of magazines are sold so that we can get a taste of what that kind of life must be like. And millions more magazines are sold because of the guilty pleasure we get from seeing the misfortune and unhappiness of the beautiful people on the cover. Oh, how we love to see their downfall. That's not the point of Jesus' parable. This is not some story to be read in the grocery store checkout aisle. Jesus didn't tell this story so that the masses could feel good that, hey, this rich guy got what he deserved. The point of the parable is that both men are sinners. Both men were exposed to Moses and the prophets. God desired for both men to reside with Abraham. Abraham even refers to him as my child. This story is not about class warfare, bringing down the rich. The story is about the power of the Word of God. And it concludes with that foreshadowing of, if someone should rise from the dead, it is still through the Word of God, through Moses and the prophets, that God will create and sustain faith. It is in the Word and Word alone that God permits himself to be found. Now, there is a lie told by some who claim to represent God, that if you live your life a certain way, God will bless you with good things in this life. And the prosperity gospel is not the gospel. There are some who say, if you just live a certain way, you'll live like this rich man. Well, that is not the way of the cross. It's not the way God operates. That's not the message of the God of Abraham. That is not the word of truth that God proclaimed through Moses and the prophets. That is not the purpose for which God sent his Son to be pierced for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities, so that someone now has risen from the dead, and many more will rise from the dead. The word of God found in Scripture, the Word joined with water, the Word made flesh, who made his dwelling among us and now comes to us under the form of bread and wine. He is not one coming promising worldly riches. He has something much better. Besides that, as Paul says in his letter to Timothy, in our epistle reading today, the desire to be rich, it's a temptation from the evil one. Watch out for it. The desire, placing it as a high priority over and above other things, it is something that leads you away from the real treasure of this life. The God who made your body to be his temple, the one who calls you by name, who gives you your food and clothing. One of the great gifts he also offers is the will to be content in this life and hopeful for the life to come, because he has made you his child and he has promised you the inheritance of his kingdom. There's nothing here that we can take with us anyway other than the Word of God and the faith it creates. As I said before, the righteousness or the unrighteousness of a person cannot be determined by the clothes you wear or the curb appeal of your home. Whether the world labels us rich or poor, we are sinners who deserve God's wrath and judgment. We deserve nothing in this life. We deserve nothing in the life to come except to be with that rich man for an eternity in hell. Our salvation is that, like Abraham, our faith has been credited to us as righteousness. And it is that faith formed by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God that we, like Lazarus, find contentment in this life and joy in the life to come. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.